Take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We are going to start reading verses 16 through 20, and then we're going to pick up and read a little bit later in the chapter for a few more verses. Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. We'll read these passages, this passage responsively, and we're going to pick up and read a few more verses a little bit later in the chapter here. Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, responsively. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets, and straightway he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Now we're going to read verses 35 through 38. I'll read 35. You join me on 36 and we'll continue that way. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And let's pray. Father, I need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, please use the next 35, 40 minutes to transform us, change us, make us to be more like you and less like ourselves. Lord, we are so influenced by this sinful world that we don't even realize it. We have often accepted our sinful ways as the right way, and so often we fail to recognize what you say. Use tonight to help us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to me. There are tons of books out there about leadership. People and businesses spend countless millions of dollars every year on leadership classes for their employees. I have a friend who is in the banking industry. Probably four or five times a year, he is sent to different places around the country. And their company will spend anywhere from $5,000 to $25,000 each one of these meetings for him and for others per person to go to these leadership meetings. Everyone has their opinion about leadership. Everybody has their style, so to speak, of leadership. Here's my question. What did God say about leadership? Doesn't matter what we are. Doesn't matter what we like. What does God say leadership should be? Why do we look to other sinful humans to tell us what leadership is? You know, man left to himself makes a pretty bad God. Man left to himself makes a pretty lousy leader. He can't lead himself right. How's he going to lead everybody else right? What most people think strong leadership is not strong leadership. The world says strong leadership is tough, harsh, doesn't care about your opinion. It's in your face kind of a person. Many people think a person who makes decision and doesn't get advice and just, this is the way it's going to be, that's my way, that's it, don't need anybody else's advice, that's a strong leader. Usually, that's a strong idiot. Then you have your modernists. They want to take a poll and decide what everybody wants and let everybody do what they want, and then they'll manage the fallout. Well, good night. You put 30 kids in a classroom and let them tell you what they want, you'll never get anything done. And you wonder why kids can't read when they graduate from school. Let me say right here, all of these styles of leadership are wrong biblically. Everybody doing okay? Just because someone has a lot of money doesn't mean they're a good leader.
That's right.
Just because someone has a big business or oversees a big business doesn't mean they're a good leader. We all have been taught by the world what leadership is. I want you to take what the world taught you, throw it out the window, and forget about it right now. What this book has to say about leadership is far better than anything the world has. I'll promise you, God's a far better leader than any leader that's ever walked the face of the earth. Ronald Reagan may have been a good leader, but he doesn't light the candle for Jesus Christ. You name any leader you want, and I'll promise you, you got Hollywood movie stars. I read an article in the news either yesterday or early this morning. Who's this Michael Moore idiot? He's a Hollywood producer. Came out and said that Christianity and communism run hand in hand. And that socialism is far better than capitalism. And yet he's made his millions off of people. Yeah. Isn't it interesting? All the rich people want communism. You say, why? Because they want to be the leader.
That's right. Yes, sir.
They're not willing to cut loose all their millions to give it to all the poor people.
Right.
Just thought I'd throw that in there. We've all been taught by the world what leadership is. What the world has influenced you satanically to believe leadership is, we ought to forget. The Bible says that the devil is in charge of the leadership of the world. There's not a person in here that the devil has personally fought you. If you got a nail in your tire this week or you stubbed your toe, it wasn't the devil that did it. He has got more going on than you getting a stupid nail in your tire. He has far more going on than you stubbing your stupid toe or your smart toe, either one. Why don't we take God at face value? Why is everything that goes wrong the devil's fault? Do you ever think maybe you're a sinner too?
Yes, sir.
Jesus here in Mark chapter 1 sees Peter and Andrew fishing. They were in their fishing business. They were fishermen by trade. These were professional fishermen. They weren't like some of us that go out once or twice a year and drown a few worms and see what we can do. He approaches them and he says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Now listen to this. The Bible says they left their nets. They left their boats and they followed him. Brother Mike, that'd be like me walking up to the boss man of Hillis and Carnes and say, follow me and I'll show you how to reach people. And him literally just leave the business and walk and follow me. They left their own business. They went a little farther down the coast. There were James and John, the brothers. They were the sons of Zebedee. They were in their ships with their servants, mending their nets. And he said, fellas, follow me. And the Bible says they left daddy and left all the hired workers in the boat and they followed Jesus.
Wow.
So you have Peter, Andrew, James, and John. I don't find one time in here that Jesus demanded that they follow him. I don't find one time where he said, if you don't follow me, this is what I'm going to do to you. Yet, they left their profession, they left their business, they left their livelihood to follow a man named Jesus. Jesus didn't bribe. He didn't say, I'll raise your pay. Matter of fact, they were going to make less money. They're going to be Baptist preachers. Jesus didn't bribe them or force them to follow. They chose to follow him. Now listen to this. I wonder if you and I were there. Would the disciples followed you? Would they have wanted to follow you? Jesus was not a drill instructor barking orders at everyone. he was not some micromanager that, as you did things, said, oh, you can't do that. That's not going to work. It won't work that way because it's not the way I do it. There's only one way to do it. This is the way you do it. He only did that in reference to doctrine, not in how they did things. Now, doctrine, it's right and wrong. That's it. There is only one way. There's one way to heaven. There's not multiple ways to heaven.
Listen to this very carefully. Jesus was also not an opinionated ogre who demanded everyone do things his way. Jesus was not a poll or survey taker to see what everybody wanted and then adapted to be what they were. There was a fella up in Chicago about 25, 30 years ago, a guy named Bill Hybels. He built one of the larger churches in the Chicago area. He went all over the Chicago area taking surveys of what people wanted in a church, and he built a church based off of those surveys. By the way, it only lasted for a few years. When everybody got what they wanted, it wasn't what they wanted. And he found out you can't please everybody. Now, tonight, I want to show you what God says about how we're to lead by how he leads. Number one, you ready? Jesus never one time declared he was the leader. Right. You won't find one time in that book where Jesus came out and said, I'm the leader. Not once. You never find the disciples who don't understand him saying, and Jesus looking at him saying, look, I am God. Just listen to what I said. You never one time find that in Scripture. Jesus simply said, follow me. Mark chapter 1 here, we heard him say twice to business people, follow me. Matthew chapter 4, let me read this to you. It's virtually the same account, just a little different wording here. But Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus just said, I'm going somewhere, I have something. If you want to follow me, come on board. He said, if you do, I can tell you what you're going to be. Instead of fishing for fish, I'll teach you how to fish for people. See, he lived, he spoke, he acted, and showed leadership in such a way that people wanted to follow him. You're not a leader because you can make people do things. You're a leader because people want to follow. Let me say that again. You're not a leader because you can force people to do something. You're a leader because you make people want to follow you. Everybody got that? That's an important statement. Jesus did not tell them what to do. Jesus saw the potential in those men and said, you are the kind of man I want following me so that I can teach you how to lead the right way. They didn't come to Jesus and say, oh, can we follow you? Can we follow you? Can we follow you? No, he walked by and said, hey, fellas, I see something in you. Why don't you follow me and I'll show you how to reach people. They said, wow, let's follow him. He had not declared himself to be the Son of God. Matter of fact, when he stood before Pilate, they said, you say that you're the king of the Jews. Are you the Messiah? What did he say? He looked at him and said, thou sayest it. He didn't say, yeah, I am. He said, no, thou sayest I am. He simply modeled what they would want to follow. Can I tell you something? You're a leader because people want to follow you, not because they have to follow you. That's it. They will because they have to, only in your presence. Can I tell you something? You're not a leader because you can make somebody do something. Jesus had what they did not have. Let me show you what I mean. He knew things that they did not know, but that they wanted to know. So a leader has to know things that a follower doesn't know, so that he can teach them what they don't know. he was going somewhere they had not been. Did you know?
Whoa. There was light, amen. Jesus had been the only person that had ever been to heaven. He knew the right way, and he's the only one that knew. By the way, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So a leader knows things that the followers don't know. A leader is going a direction and knows what's farther down the road than the followers do. Number three, he knew someone they wanted to know. Good night. I don't know what's going on with this thing, but we're going to quit using that thing tonight. I'm full of the power tonight, amen? It could have been last night, but anyway, he knew someone they wanted to know. I don't mean this unkindly. People don't follow a preacher just for his personality. They may for a while, but personality ends real quick. I don't have the most wonderful personality in the world. Now, to know me is to love me. I understand that. But it's not my personality that... Careful, Greg. Don't choke too hard on that. I didn't fall and hit my head, though. I'm all right. I knew that was coming. I was waiting on that one. But may I say this? My goal as your preacher to walk so closely to God and come back and give you what I get on my walks with Him that you want to walk with Him, too. Or that at least you'll stay close enough to me to let me walk with Him and give you what God gives me. Yes. It's not me. It's Him. It's the truth. Yes. I'm made out of sinful flesh just like you are. I will disappoint you like every other human being has disappointed you. But I know someone a little better than you know them. I've known some people a little better than you've known them. And I've gleaned from them, and I'm able to teach and give you what they gave me. Everybody understand that? Matter of fact, according to Mark chapter 1, we read it in verse number 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed, and Simon and they that were with him, who were with Simon? Andrew, James, and John. All four of these men knew that Jesus was up early praying. And what did they do? They went and they followed him. Huh. They followed him. I don't find where Jesus said, I'm getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Y'all meet me out at the prayer patch. No, he just got up and did it. And they said, he left. We better go find him. We want to know what he knows. We want to go where he's going. We want to know who he knows. So number one, Jesus never one time declared that he's the leader. Listen to me. Habits are hard to break. There we go. Can I tell you something? If you have to beat your chest and say, I'm the leader, you just proved you're not. If the only way you can lead your family is by saying, well, because I'm the husband or I'm the dad, that's why we're doing this. I hate to tell you, you're not much of a leader. I didn't say it, God did. Right. If you have to declare your position as leader, you're at the last knot on the rope and about to hang yourself. Everybody's worked for a boss that wants to beat his chest. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, thinks he's King Kong. And everybody knows he's a ding-dong. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Work for that person that you want to follow. Find that leader and you want to follow. It doesn't mean just because you want to follow him that you'll always agree with him. Do you know how many times the disciples disagreed with Jesus? Remember the story of Lazarus? Well, Jesus, if he's sick, how come we're not going to go see him? Just hang on, fellas. Don't worry. Jesus let Lazarus die. Then they went. Don't you think they were scratching their heads?
They only saw healing. Jesus saw resurrection. They only could see what the flesh could see, but Jesus saw something they could not see. He knew someone they did not know. You know, it's my job to know a lot of things about a lot of things so that I can lead more people. Well, I'm not the smartest person in the world. I promise you that. Good night, Brother Mike. I've been out on that job site, and I've let the head excavator teach me a whole bunch. He's tired of hearing me say, you're the boss. But I got some questions, not because I'm questioning you. I want to learn because I plan on building more buildings. And if I can learn it now, I can save you work on the next building. He walked over me and said, I like how you think. He said, nobody asks me questions like this. They just expect me to do it and then get mad because I did it. I said, no, I want to know why. I said, because if we can figure this thing out, I can save us headaches down the road. I'll ask questions, not to question his authority, but so that I can learn. By the way, I've got two pastors I'm helping right now with construction projects. It's amazing how much I'm learning and feeding to these guys. So leadership is creating in someone a desire to follow, not beating on your chest and declaring, because I'm the dad, that's why we do this. Well, they'll do it until they're big enough to not have to do it.
Right.
And then you wonder why they rebel against you. Mm-hmm. Number two, I got to hurry. God says that leaders are servants. They are not served. Right. Why don't you take your Bible? We're going to use our Bible for a little bit here. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. Back just a few pages in your Bible. Matthew chapter 20. Look at verse number 27. Matthew chapter 20, verse 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your
servant.
Chief, that means leader. That is a position of leadership. So whoever is going to be chief is going to be the servant. It doesn't say whosoever is to be chief among you, everybody serve him. Do you know, if you're a leader, you're wanting to serve others, not sit there like King Tut and make everybody serve you? Turn to Matthew chapter 23. There are so many things I want to say that I could get in trouble for right now. I am not going to. I hope. Hang on, you might get shot at. I'm pretty close at hitting the target, amen, Brother Mike? Matthew chapter 23, look at verse number 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your
servant.
Not he that is greatest among you shall be served.
Right.
He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at verse number 44. Mark chapter 10, verse number 44. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Servant of all. Godly leaders look to serve. They don't look to be served. Godly leadership doesn't say, you do what I want and do it for me. Godly leadership says, what do you want and let me do it for you. That is real leadership. There is something I appreciate about the President of the United States we have right now. Number one, the press and the liberals hate him.
Amen.
But can I tell you something? Every attack, he puts his nose down and he keeps on working. Unemployment's lower than it's been in over 20 years. It's the lowest it's ever been for the African Americans, ever in recorded history. He's creating jobs. The economy is booming right now, and it's on the verge of really booming. You say, well, the stock market. Yeah, the stock market's adjusting because it had a false bottom to it because of the Obama administration pumping fake money and trillions of dollars into it. Now what's being pumped into it is real money.
Yes.
Federal Reserve is not pumping money into the stock market anymore like it had been for 8 years. Yeah, there's been a little adjustment, but by the way, that adjustment is still thousands above what it was before President Trump got in office. Everybody doing okay? Leadership is to be served. He is serving his country. He's serving the country. He's not taking his salary. He gives his salary away. He's not going to take the retirement salary. He's giving it away. Say why? Because he didn't come to the president's office to be served. He came to serve his country, and I respect that about our president. Amen. Does that mean I agree with every decision? No. Does that mean I agree with everything he does? No, but I don't have the right to make that decision because I don't know everything that's going on. Godly leaders look to serve, not be served. Men, we as husbands ought to serve our wives, not wish to be served by our wives. Some of you come home, you worked all day long. What was that? That. I'm not going there either, amen. But yes, sir. You know, you say, well, I worked 8 hours a day. I came home and I sat down at the table. I don't know why my wife just doesn't want to serve me. She put 4 to 6 hours in herself, and she got the kids ready for school, got them off, took care of the kids, took care of the schoolwork, took care of your food, and still has laundry to do and house to clean because you came home with dirty shoes, threw them all over the place, threw your clothes off on the floor, and you wonder why she's tired and not wanting to go play. Why don't you decide to serve instead of sit there being served? Ouch, oh me. Amen. We're not supposed to treat our wives like slaves. They're not a slave. My wife will tell you, I help as much as I can around the house when I'm home. When we eat, I usually take care of the dishes for her. My arms aren't broke. I can go to the sink, hose them off, and throw them in the dishwasher. I help. Now, wait a minute. We don't run the dishwasher every day. And by the way, there's pots and pans that need scrubbed out. I scrub them out. That's right. I'm a martyr for Jesus, amen. Making the Scott, you looked bad a long time ago. Yes, sir. You know, your leaders at work, if you're a leader at work, you ought to be serving the people that work with you, not expecting to be served. I'll promise you this. You start serving your boss, not brown-nosing, but serving the right way, you'll make him a better leader. You'll make them a better leader. Parents, you teach your children to be servants by how you serve, not how you mandate they do what they do. Yes. Now, children need taught how to do things. I get that. But they're not your personal slaves. Go get me, go get me, go get me, go get me. Yeah. Now, wait a minute. The wise child will obey. But you'll teach them to be better servants by how you serve, not by how you're served. Do they watch you pull the chair out for your wife and push it back under her, so not pull it all the way out from under her? Do they watch you serve her? Do they watch you serve other people? I'm glad my children know how to take care of my wife because they've watched me take care of my wife. My boys would fight you if you mistreated their mama. Because they've watched their dad stand for their mama. I've watched my boys, they'll go months and months and months without seeing their mom. And I love watching my boys walk up and put their arms around their mama. Very tenderly. Say why? That's the way they're supposed to do it. They watched their dad do it. Everybody doing okay? I am not the greatest example. But I will tell you this. My job is to serve, not be served. My job as your pastor is to serve you, not expect you to serve me.
Right.
I know a pastor. Never gave you his name. You'd never guess who it is. But I know a pastor that got upset because the church one year didn't give him for his birthday as much as they gave him the year before. And he made sure that every birthday, every Christmas, every anniversary got celebrated by the church because they needed a chance to serve their leader. May I say this? That makes me want to barf. Vomit. Whatever you want to call it. Throw up. I want nothing from you. I just want you to be here and learn how to get close to God and let me serve you. That's what I enjoy. My job is to serve, not be served. I'm not King Tut sitting on a throne. God didn't call a pastor to be a king. He called him to be a servant. The word husband doesn't mean king. It means servant. The word mom doesn't mean king or queen. It means servant. Leader doesn't mean king. It means servant. So, Jesus never one time declared that he was the leader. Number two, God says that leaders are servants. They're not to serve. If you went to Romans chapter 1, verse number 1, it says Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, 1, Peter, a servant of Jesus Christ. Jude 1, 1, Jude, the servant of God. Great leaders. And in the Word of God, God records them as servants, not leaders. Leaders seek to put into followers, not get out of followers.
Yes.
Wrong statement. Well, I'm just trying to get out of them all I know that they can produce. It's not your job to get out of anybody anything. It's your job to put into them so that they can. My job is not to get anything out of any person in this room. My job is to put into you so that you can do more than you thought you could do.
Yes.
Jesus didn't try to pull out of his followers. He tried to put into his followers. Jesus was constantly teaching and preaching. He was constantly showing them how to do things. Because he said, there's going to come a time where I'm not with you. You're going to have to do this on your own. How many times I heard my parents say this, and I taught my kid this. Look, you better learn how to wash your clothes, because there's coming a time when your mama and your daddy ain't going to be there to wash them. I'm glad my children, when they left home to go to college, had already been doing their laundry for years, knowing how to care for their own laundry. Now, if they don't do it now, that's their problem, but they knew how to do it. Everybody doing all right? Just because you have a position and you can tell people what to do, that doesn't make you the leader. Please don't take this the wrong way. How old's Asa?
Eight.
Okay, I'm going to pick, and he's five. Okay, I'm trying to pick an age where we don't have somebody so you don't think I'm talking about you. You know, if you had a class of four-year-olds, it's not real hard to tell four-year-olds what to do. Now, they're like herding cats, but it doesn't take a whole lot of leadership to tell a four-year-old what to do and get them to do it. It really doesn't. Try leading a church with a personality like yours. And then multiply it by all the different personalities. You don't get it. You got to walk with God. There are days I wonder if I've done anything right. I've beat my head against the wall more times than you can imagine. I'll preach a sermon on Sunday, and on Monday somebody will call me and say, "Preacher, I just messed up." And they were in church and heard both sermons on Sunday. I re-preach it to them on Monday. And it's like the first time they heard it, wow, Shazam, there it is.
Yeah? Did you listen yesterday? I want to say it, I don't. You know, just because you can boss people at work doesn't mean you're a leader. Just because people have to do what you say doesn't mean you're the leader. I got to hurry. Point number three. I've got 6 minutes. Seven. Jesus adapted his leadership to all kinds of people. Jesus adapted his leadership to all kinds of people. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to show you something. I didn't say he changed truth, and he didn't change what leadership is. But he adapted his leadership to all kinds of people. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse number 18. What is my reward then? Verily, that I, when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as the weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Now look at me. That doesn't mean you, if you're with a drunkard, you sit at the bar with them and drink with them to win them.
That's right.
It doesn't mean if you're with a drug dealer that you shoot heroin in your veins just so you can relate to them. That's stupidity. But the Bible says that when you're with the Jew, you can relate to the Jew because you know what he knows, and you can take what he knows and turn it into the gospel. It's having the facts and the ability to relate to that personality. I talk to all different kinds of people. Brother Mike, I've talked to every one of the guys that worked out on the property this week. Every last one of them. I've shook their hands. Even the truck drivers. Now, the one guy, he's clean cut, decent fella. The other one, don't laugh too much. But he's about 6'2", probably weighs 330 pounds. He's bald from here up. And he's got a ponytail that long. I mean, he's got less hair on top than Brother Joe, and he's got a ponytail about 2 foot long. And I think he's got a total of 6 teeth. And he's a rough-looking critter. He jumped out of his truck the other day, and I went, whoa. I said, I could use you in my church. He said, what for? I said, my bodyguard. He said, you got that many rough people? I said, I wouldn't if you were there. I reached my hand out. He said, oh, my hands are dirty. I said, I don't care. I said, I'm made out of dirt just like you are. All right. Man, he had a paw on him the size of a bear. He had to walk him over and said, there's iced tea right there, sweet tea there, and there's a think cooler full of ice water. Oh, that's for the guys over here. I said, no, that's for everybody. You're working here too. Really? Nobody's ever done that. I said, man, go for it. What do you want? I'll get it for you. No, I'll get it. I said, no, what do you want? I'll get it for you. He said, I can't believe you. I said, why? He said, well, you're a pastor. I said, yeah, that word pastor means servant. You're the worker. I said, you know something about this job I don't. I said, I'm not driving that truck all day long. Jesus related to each person in each people group because he knew he needed to reach them in a different way. Do you know that I don't lead Jesse the same way I lead Scott? Yeah, it's a real good thing. And honestly, I Brother Scott and I have known each other for years, but I don't lead Brother Scott the way Brother Larry and I work together. Brother Larry and I were laying out the sign the other day. He was the boss man, not me.
He knew what he was doing. I didn't know squat. He'd say, "Preacher, right there." I said, "No problem." I said, I can follow real good right here." He understood all that. After it was done, I'd say, "Yeah, that looked right, but I would have never figured out how to do that." I learned some things. But I let him be the leader of it. You say, why? That's his expertise, not mine. I'm not afraid. I was out there pounding rebar in the ground, and we were tying stakes off and painting lines and getting everything all lined out. Say, what for? I was there to serve. I was there to learn. I was there to serve. Jesus got more people to follow by relating to each person or group of people. He didn't become like them. Right. One of the stupidest things in the world is for some adult man to become a youth director of a church, grow his hair long, play rock music, and try to act like a worldly teenager to reach teenagers. They don't need a buddy. He can't grow hair at all, let alone grow it long. You know, they don't need a buddy, they need a leader. Parents, your children don't need a buddy, they need a leader. I hate saying it that way. They're not your play buddy. You're to train them to be an adult. By the way, this is why we'll never be a modernist church. I am not going to become like the world to reach the world. We're not going to do it the world's way. We're going to do it God's way. A real leader adapts to the people or to the person and brings them to where he is. He does not come down to where they are to become like them. When I'm out on the property, I'm still the pastor. But I'm not afraid to serve the men out there. I was out there the other day and some guy just jumped off one of those machines out there and had diesel fuel all over his hands. I said, "Greg, good to see you." He said, "Pastor, I got diesel fuel on my hands." I said, "I don't care. It washes off. It's going to wash off yours. It'll wash off mine." He said, "Come on, you're in a suit." I said, "I don't care." Reached my old paw out there and, "All right, grubby hand." I said, "What'd you do?" Shook his hand. Yes. Say, why? Because I'd like to reach that man. I'd like to reach his family. He's going to have a need someday, and he's going to remember some preacher that wasn't so highfalutin and sitting on a throne somewhere, out there with the people, being like him, knowing what he was, though I wasn't on the machinery with him. I had my suit coat off, my tie on, my dress shirt and dress pants. But I wasn't afraid to shake a dirty hand. Say, why? Because it was my job to serve. My job to serve. That's what soul winning is. Adapting to the situation you're in to get them the gospel. If I'm dealing with somebody that's got a foul mouth, I don't start cursing like Brother Stoltz to reach them. Potty mouth. I mean, you don't have to sit there and curse with somebody that's cursing. Not at all. It's called people skills. I gotta quit. May I say this? I hope you forget all the leadership classes the world has taught you and all the leadership books you've read through your life. I don't care what they say. You won't get a better leadership manual than that one. You won't find a better leader than God. Because when you mess up, he keeps leading. Do you ever notice, doesn't matter what leader dies, sun still comes up in the morning? Maybe we ought to set our leadership style after that, not after what we think. Well, that's just the way I am. If they don't like it, tough. I'm glad Jesus didn't say that. Thank God God didn't say that. Matter of fact, it said he came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to be servant of all. I thank God the greatest leader in the universe is God. Amen. May we learn to lead
as he leads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. We all need to change how we lead in most areas of our life to be more like Christ. May we not be so full of pride that we think we're a good enough leader.